Welcome to the podcast. I'm Sharon from Listen to This with Cliff and Sharon, and we want to share some great stories with you.
That's right. They could be funny, they could be emotional, they could be touching, they could be absolutely crazy. All of them, great stories that we're happy to share with you right now.
Listen to this.
Ordered for quality assurance.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Sir, you are no gentleman.
And you, miss, are no lady.
Number 5.
You ever wonder what happens to a social media account when somebody dies? I mean, you hope the family has access and can shut it down, or maybe they can contact, you know, Facebook or Twitter or something, but maybe they continue to run it as a tribute. You know, but some of these things just keep grinding away, right?
Well, they do. And apparently there's about 8,000 Facebook users that pass away every day around the world. And so Facebook becomes like a digital graveyard, if you like. And I know people who have passed away and their Facebook account is still there. And on anniversaries of their passing or on their birthday, people go back there and they leave messages. And it's really for the family. And I think it can bring some comfort and things. But Facebook is trying to think right now, what do they do? Because eventually, I mean, however long Facebook goes on, there could be, you know, millions of basically Facebook accounts owned by people who have passed away. So, I mean, what do you do? Do you hold a Facebook funeral? Is there such a thing? Well, maybe there is.
Facebook friends, we are gathered here in this comment section to remember Steve. And although we all feel like crying emoji right now, let's remember Steve as he would have wanted, through his news feed. Steve was a very inviting man. He invited us to play Candy Crush, Farmville, and whatever Bubble Town is. Steve loved food and photography. So many photos of food. And he was passionate about politics. Steve's the only person to post more about Donald Trump than Donald Trump himself. We wish it could be Throwback Thursday to when he was still with us, but Steve has logged off for good. And while Steve's time was cut short, he made the most of the time he had by spending it all on Facebook. Goodbye, Steve. You are liked.
Wow. You know, that's not really that far from being true, is it?
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
Now, pay close attention.
Number 4.
You ever been in a big city like, New York, San Francisco, anywhere where there's high skyscrapers and then there's pigeons above you?
Oh, yes. Any big city.
It's terrible, right?
They poop everywhere.
Yeah? Have you ever been hit by a pigeon poop?
It's
supposed to be good luck, you know.
Well, no, I did. No, not by pigeon poop. But I've been shat upon by... Can I say that on the radio?
That's S-H-A-T, right?
Uh-huh. From other birds, but no, not from a pigeon.
You have to look this up. I'm pretty sure it means good luck. But anyway, you know, the City of London is putting their pigeons to work.
This is great.
This is fantastic. They're strapping these little backpacks on half a dozen pigeons, maybe a dozen pigeons, and setting them free. What are they supposed to do?
Well, they're supposed to educate people about pollution levels in the area. So they've got these little high-tech backpacks with pollution sensors on them, and they fly over the skies of London, and they measure these little backpack things, measure the pollution, and then people can find out about the nitrogen dioxide levels in their area by going online, and there's a website for it, and looking up what the levels actually are, which is, to me, this is the absolute definition of irony. Because you think pigeons they poop all over everything.
It could be messy, yep.
Yeah, are being used to measure pollution. Hello? Wouldn't it be better if we could actually train them to clean up after themselves rather than just wearing these little tracking device things? It's just ironic to me that...
I think you're onto something here. Rather than putting backpacks filled with electronics that probably cost millions of dollars to develop, why not come up with a pigeon diaper?
There you go.
Huh?
There you go. Now you're thinking, who's going to change those?
Below.
Who's going to change them, though?
Well, that's, yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number three.
Help me, Sharon. Help me. My wife, God love her, is a wonderful cook. She's a yogi. She's a former broadcaster. I'm deeply, deeply in love with her. However, I don't know why I'm whispering because she probably hears this anyway.
She's not in the studio.
No. We seem to be moving closer and closer to a vegan diet.
Oh,
every time
God.
I say, oh, I feel like a big steak or chicken or something, I get, you know what, I've made you a wonderful quinoa with hemp.
Oh.
And, like, what? And here's some rope. Dip it in the
in the yogurt,
in the beet
or the tahini.
Dip. Oh, there you go. You see. Every
so are
dinner,
you serious? She wants to go vegan.
Well, it certainly seems to be
inching towards it.
She hasn't come out right out and said, you know, I want to be vegan. But every meal seems to be an experiment in trying something that I would never touch with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, my God. But you love her. So what are you going to do? Right?
I'm going to eat it and I'm going to smile.
Oh, you sure are. Because if you want any happiness in your life, you're going to have to do that. Hey, ask Siri what she thinks.
Okay. Siri, my wife wants to go vegan, I think. Is that a good idea for my family?
Oh boy, this is a tough one. On one hand, you want to show support for your wife who is about to embark on a very difficult endeavor and try to go vegan. On the other hand, eating vegan is not the most tasty thing and your family is going to be miserable. You need to be brave here for the mental well-being of your family. If you guys are not sold on going vegan as a team, the diet is going to fail miserably. When people are hungry and hate all of the food that they have around the house, it is torture and they will snap when they see a TV commercial for giant cheesy pizzas. Do yourself and your family a favor and try to negotiate with her and start on a diet that has some vegan dishes, but still allows for the occasional giant greasy hamburger or sloppy slices of pizza. This may be a difficult negotiation process, but think of it as a food hostage situation. You need to remain steadfast in your position that your family needs meaty food on occasion or you guys will be miserable.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
God.
I love Siri.
I know. Good luck.
I just want meat.
Listen. Listen.
Listen to this. With Cliff and Sharon.
Number two.
May I just say I'm very excited about April 5th? Ask me why I'm excited about April 5th.
Cliff, why are you excited about April 5th?
Star Wars The Force Awakens gets released on Blu-ray and DVD. Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God. Look at you. All excited and a flutter over there. Well, there is a man in Virginia who became, without even signing up for it, the judge of a Chewbacca impersonator contest after his friends posted his phone number on Craigslist. This could be one of the greatest pranks of all time, actually. This guy's name is Blake Webb, and his friends posted his number to the online classified site and encouraged people to call his phone with their best Chewbacca impression, and up for grabs was a $50 prize. So he knew nothing about it, but all of a sudden, his phone starts running hot with people saying, hey, is this the guy from Craigslist? And mm-hmm. Here's my Chewbacca impersonation. Well, of course, he had no idea at first what was going on, but then he just went along with it and would listen to their impersonation and go, yeah, that's good. You're in the running.
Oh, my God.
Or whatever. And so, actually, I want to ask you, because you are a big Star Wars fan.
Oh, you're not going to do this, are you?
Well, hang on. First of all, let's play Chewbacca.
Okay.
And Chewbacca has many moods. He is a character of depth, and so he has a few different noises that he makes. Here's a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's Chewy, and so okay. I want to hear your Chewbacca.
Okay. Here's my best Chewbacca. Ready?
Yeah. That was it.
Hold on. Okay, one more time.
No, you didn't do that. No, you've got it on your cell phone under the desk there. Knock it off. You are so cheating. You're busted. You can't do that. Before we went into this break off the air, I was trying to do it. This is how mine would sound, and I'm not a Star Wars fan.
Okay.
But here's mine.
That doesn't sound anything like it.
It's better than yours because you cheated. Hey, you're dribbling. Stop it.
I'm sorry. You know why it's so hard? Chewbacca's sound is actually a combination of a black bear from the California Zoo, a walrus, a badger, and a lion. So don't feel too bad that you couldn't even get close.
That's my job, to find out what goes on and get it to the people.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
What people?
The people.
I never heard of them.
Number one.
And now it's time for... Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Or BS.
It's just an endless cycle of bullshit.
No, it's not a political statement, although it could be. This is where Sharon gives me a statement and I decide whether it's yes, true, or no. It's total BS. And let's see, the first tweet that was sent, 10 years ago? I can't believe I've been on Twitter almost that long.
Yeah, 10 years ago this week.
It was by Twitter CEO, and it said, just setting up my Twitter, TWTTR. So the topic this week, apparently, is all about celebrity first tweets. I think I've got this one.
All right, very good. Okay, so first question is, yes or BS, Donald Trump was on Twitter before Justin Bieber?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
You're right. Trump sent his first tweet about appearing on The Late Show with David Letterman on May 4th in 2009. And Justin Bieber's first tweet was a week later and said that his single One Time was premiering on MySpace.
MySpace.
My God.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
There's a flashback.
Okay. Number two. So you got one right. Number two, Kanye West's first tweet said, quote, "My tweets are a form of contemporary art." Yes or BS?
Filled with enough ego, I would say yes.
I know. I would have too. But actually, that's BS. No. And that's from actually a tweet he posted last week. His first tweet was in 2013, and it was artwork from his album, The Life of Pablo, which finally just came out last month, as it turns out. Mm. Okay, Taylor Swift's first tweet in 2008 was an apology to her cat. Yes or BS?
Sure, yes.
And you're right. Her first tweet said this, apologising to a very needy cat for being gone so long. I know what that's like. I apologise to my cat when I'm gone for a while as well.
Yeah.
All right, so you are 2 out of 3. That's not bad for you. All right, number four. In Lindsay Lohan's first tweet, she told her on-again, off-again girlfriend Samantha Ronson that she loved her. Yes or BS?
Wow. I think there's some truth to that. I don't think that was her first tweet, though. I'm going to say BS.
Actually, it was yes.
Oh.
It was in 2009, and Samantha Ronson tweeted that she was stuck at the airport, and Lindsay replied to it with, "Fly safe, love you." That was her first tweet. There you go.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
All right, last question. Jerry Seinfeld's first tweet in 2011 said, "I think I can hear my toenails grow." Yes or BS?
You know what? That sounds like something Jerry Seinfeld would say. I'm going to say yes.
Ah, BS.
No, come
actually,
on.
In his first tweet, he joked that it might also be his last tweet. The line about toenails is actually something Gary Busey tweeted in 2010, and then he followed it up 2 hours later with, "I definitely can hear my toenails grow."
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. Actually, Gary Busey would be a funny guy to follow on Twitter, wouldn't he? You've got to think he's got to be hilarious.
Yeah.
But anyway, 3 out of 5.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
3 out of 5?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not bad.
For you. Well done.
Listen to this. With Cliff and Sharon.
Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes.
This has been a Bytes.com production.